Let me bang you.
I do let you bang.
Let me bang you, Jason, man.
I let you bang. I let you bang.
Greetings, Marys and Bridges.
Go for Jesus. No, for gay Jesus, people.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Who the fuck is that guy?
What's up, people? Welcome to the MMA Roasted podcast. We got two this week. I'm here with the dream team. I got my man, Greg Romero Wilson, who's getting smaller and in more shape by the minute. You look good, man.
Thanks, buddy. Thank you.
Are you nervous that, like, I mean, you're funny. Like, obviously, you're hilarious. But sometimes, like, you see people that are, like, kind of chubby. Really funny with the chubby. And then they lose weight and they don't get to be at. They're not as funny or they don't work.
Are you
nervous at all for that?
No, if anything, I'm afraid I might become fuckable. I swear to God. I mean, you know, I'm a married man and it's really easy for me to go on the road because no one's trying to fuck me. But what if I lose? What if I become fuckable? And then I don't know. I've never been confronted with this problem. Now, I'm sure I'm not a cheater. I don't want to do that. It's not what I'm looking to do. But I'm just saying I've never really been confronted with it in a realistic way because, you know.
What about acting parts, you see people that like, when they like they're chubby, they work all the time, and then
right. You really do have to kind of recalibrate. Like there is definitely. I thought I would book a lot more stuff losing weight, and I haven't booked anything since I've lost weight. So there is, I think, you know, because casting people know you as a certain thing, and you fit a certain box for them, which is fat and funny, you know. And so then all of a sudden you're not as fat, but I'm still just as funny. And so I think I feel like there is going to be a process of kind of recalibrating my market, and that could take probably up to a year. But I think it'll come around. I think once people, because that's the other thing. I think when you lose a bunch of weight, people also don't want to. Update necessarily how they see you in case you gain it all back, because most people do wind up gaining it back.
Right.
So I wonder if there's some of that too. Like they kind of wait to see if it sticks before they're like, all right, I guess we can start trying to send them in different directions. So, you know, I mean, I think there's, you know, for me and for them, I think there's a bit of a learning curve, but I think it'll come back around. I mean, talent's still talent, baby.
Of course, of course. McCorkle, how are you?
All right. I haven't booked anything since I lost weight either, so don't feel bad, Greg.
Thank you. Now I feel better. I feel like it's a common problem now.
Right.
Now, I hate to start the podcast on 2 weeks in a row and a downer, but I do want to talk about something that just – I didn't even know Elias Theodoro was sick.
Wow.
Elias is a guy that, like – I mean, he was just one of the nicest, most charming, funny, humble – and he's not been as humble for as good looking as he was.
So good looking.
12 pack. I mean, and just fun, free spirited guy.
Yeah.
That had like no martial art background at all. Made it the UFC, just athletic and will and talent. At 34 years old, fucking liver cancer.
Liver cancer.
And it just
liver
went like cancer. That. And that.
I feel like that's got to be genetic. That's got to be something that's in your family. You know what I mean? I don't know what else could have caused that. Someone's that healthy. And these things happen. You know, I mean, like, you know, what happened to me, obviously, I was a victim of my own choices. I know what I did. But there was somebody else that we know that had one, but it was genetic. He was a healthy guy, was a thing, but it was a genetic thing that in his family, they get they have heart attacks. And so, they clog up. And so maybe I would be inclined to think it was something with the same blessed genetics that made him a gorgeous monster. Obviously may have also been what felled him, which is just a horrible, crazy, what man. A tragedy, completely unfair.
I mean, and I think like if I was
no
sick,
idea, I don't think
I would
anybody knew.
Probably tell everyone. I want to get the most sympathy as possible if I was sick. I mean, he didn't tell anybody. No one knew he was sick except for immediate family. And that just really kind of, that Sunday night I found out, like I got a text from my buddy Aaron that was like, sorry about Elias. I was like, what? And then I just Googled it. He sent me that. I was like, holy shit. And that just put me in a...
I learned from your post.
crazy.
I didn't even see the news. And then I'm like, what happened to him? And before you could even answer, I was obviously, you know, Googling it, and immediately it came up and I was like, oh my God.
But yeah, it totally sucks. And man, you realize how short life is. That's a guy though, live life to the fullest. I mean, it was like a romance novel. It was a ring girl. He was a fighter. He just got engaged. He was nice. He was just nice to everybody. That guy,
yeah,
nice to everybody. And the last time I saw him, we did it was a press conference with Toothless Tom and Jenny Savage. And there was this other girl, Ashley Gambino, and they were just going at it. And he was just taking bong hits the whole time, Elias, in his Zoom corner. And it was just a really funny, like, ridiculous situation. But Sean, you met Elias when you were here, right, in L.A.?
Yeah, I'll tell you what's crazy. I met him a couple times, and I'm not trying to be funny saying this. I'm being serious. I didn't like him when I met him both times. I thought he was cocky and just, like I don't know, insecure and stuff. But when I saw that the other day, I literally cried when I saw your post or whatever, because I was like, here I am not liking this guy. I didn't even know him. I'm rooting for him to lose in fights because I've met him twice. I'm sure plenty of people don't like me after they meet me, you know? Yeah. And then I saw that and I thought,
you could say most.
Yeah. It's but it makes you like, that really does make you realize, man, like there's a difference between not liking somebody and then being happy they die. You know what I mean? Like when I saw that, I said, dude, what a disaster. Like I felt absolutely horrible for him. And then kind of felt bad for being hard on him, you know, even though he didn't know that I didn't like him, you know, or whatever, but like not that I didn't like him, but you know, like I said, I'm sure I rub people the wrong way too. So they say only the good die young, which that's good news for Brendan Schaub. He'll be around forever, but it really is. I mean, it's a lot of people would trade his 34 years for their lives because he really did do a lot, man, and accomplished a lot. And he was always doing something. It was funny. He always was I was like, dude, does that dude have the greatest agent in the world or what? Because he always is on TV or doing this or doing that, you know, like, but I'm sure it was most of it self-made. But yeah, I literally cried, dude. I don't cry that often, but when I saw that, it was in the middle of the night. I was just flipping through my phone and it's devastated me, man. That's yeah. Like I said, I only met him a couple times, but spent all that time not liking him only to be brokenhearted when I saw he died, you know? So,
you know, I think this proves that once again, no one honors the dead like MMA Roasted. We really know how to take your tragedy and make it all about us.
Us and Brendan Schaub.
And Brendan Schaub. On Brendan Schaub. That's what we do here at MMA Roasted.
So,
oh my God.
Well, so I took my family. I know a guy who's a magician. He opens up.
That was the most McCorkle tribute. You know, listen, if I die first, and I'm assuming I will, I need a McCorkle tribute at the memorial. I need you to get up there and shit on me first, and then of course I'll tell you, and then explain how much it hurts. So
I feel like McCorkle's tombstone is going to be like, "Here lies Sean McCorkle, who wanted to let everyone know Brendan Schaub is not funny." Like,
yeah,
right. Like, that'd be awesome.
Here lies Sean McCorkle. I don't like you either. That's what.
Here's like Sean McCorkle. It should have been Brendan Schaub.
Okay. Robert Cockle died like Brendan Schaub on stage, or just something like.
And then in parentheses, it'll be like he wrote that headline and sent it to us.
I did always say that I was going to write something before I die if I have any notice, and it's going to be like supposedly be like everybody's going to think it's heartfelt, but it's just going to be me roasting everyone who's there, you know, like or whatever. Have somebody read it out loud and be like, "Oh yeah, is my friend Ron here? Is he still ugly as fuck?" Like just clowning everybody, you know, like all my friends that are alive.
Oh, you must do that. You must.
I actually wanted to get buried naked and just so my and invite all my exes to my funeral. So they have to see me naked like one last time.
I love that you assume that all your exes are still holding a flame for you so tightly.
No, they're not. They're not.
That if you pass, they're like, "I must go. I must see him one more time." No, no husband and children with whom I've moved on by decades. No, I still.
No, I don't want. I'm making them see me naked. Like they don't tell anyone. Like they have to come to the casket.
Yeah, but you think they're gonna come to the fucking funeral,
dude? The worst was at my. Good point. Dude, at my stepmom's funeral, like my stepmom died, like, and they didn't tell her mother, like the grandma, until the funeral, right? So they bring her to the funeral, and she looks in the casket, and she's got like dementia, and they're like, "That's Lena, your daughter." She's like, "No, it's not." And they're like, "No, yes, it is." She's like, that's not my dog. And they made her look at her for like 10 minutes. It was like beyond, it was like the worst episode of Punk'd ever. You know,
that is so horrible. Well, and not to mention that when they pass, you know, I mean, they do as good a job as they can to make them look, you know, natural and thing, but they don't look natural. They do not look like themselves. And if you're not entirely all there to begin with, I can see where you're like, I don't know who that person, because they don't. It's some, you know what I mean? It's a sunken shell of what they were. I want to get thin enough and fit enough to have an Evel Knievel funeral. Essentially, I want all these women to show up and congratulate my wife on, on being the one that they all didn't get to be. And so that's what I want. That's what I'm hoping for.
By the way, so I took my kid and my wife to the Magic Castle, which if people don't know, in LA, you have to get an invite to the Magic Castle by a magician. It's not an easy thing, right? So we go to the brunch. And then we go there and they have like six different rooms, all like people doing magic shows, right? And it's pretty expensive, yada, yada, yada. So anyway, we go to this one magic show and this woman's like barking. She's like telling me, you got to go to see this guy. He's great. Kid was like 18 years old. These two little kids are there. They must have been like 11 and 12, brother and sister. And the whole time they're like, this kid's doing like basic magic. Like we're putting the rings together and the rings go apart. They're like, hey, there's a slit there. Just like every trick he did.
Just calling out the tricks.
Yeah, every trick he did, these kids would shit on the trick and be like,
thanks, Biden.
Yeah, to the point where the kids, like, the guy's like, I want to see you do it, right? Can you do it? And I'm like, no. So now I'm mad on behalf of the kid getting like this Asian magician, right? Who's trying his hardest, obviously, like, isn't the best with like people skills. Like, he's nervous. And everything they do is like the knot, they have a string with the knot goes down. The kid's like, oh no, I can see the hole in the knot, like pointing out his mat. Dude, I wanted to fucking murder these kids. But
actually, it's a thanks YouTube. Thanks to YouTube, they can see all these fucking tricks. So they go, they're like, I know they're on YouTube.
I didn't realize the magicians had other magicians that heckled them. That's awesome. Like you played a new magic show and everybody's revealing your tricks. Amazing.
Well, we go through it too. They see our clips online, then come to the show and yell out the fucking punchlines.
Yeah.
What's the difference?
You know, in Shab's defense, though, when his crowd's yelling out, what the fuck, he thinks it's the punchline, but they're actually just talking about his comedy. Like, man, they keep yelling out my punchline. But like, no, that's just what they were saying in regard all to right. Your jokes.
So let's talk about the fights that happened this week. First of all, we did a podcast last week.
Oh my God.
It took me 9 hours to upload it from the ship because the internet was like, it was like AOL, you know, 1984. So finally 9 hours and I'm paying for this. I'm paying like $10 an hour, you know? So I'm out like $200 to get this fucking thing uploaded and it keeps logging off and on and off and kicked off. I got to start over. So, and then events keep happening to make it so that the whole podcast is fucking nuts.
Pointless. Yeah. First, all the fights we talked about did not happen.
First, the brawl happened, right? Which afterwards, all these conspiracy theories came up of like, it wasn't a real brawl. It was this and that. And in fact, you see Dana yesterday, Dana White had a press conference, right? And then and he's like, fucking Pat Miletich, you know, who did have a conspiracy about what really happened. The fights weren't selling and they redid it so that everyone would talk about it. And he's like, Pat Miletich is out of his fucking mind, blah, blah, blah. And someone's like, Brendan Schaub is the one who said it. He's like, oh, that fucking thing. Stayed away. Yeah,
even he's roasting Schaub.
So my thoughts on it, I don't think it was a conspiracy where they, because I don't think that the Nate Diaz brothers and all these people are going to get together and say, hey, listen, we're not going to talk about this. Let's pretend there was a brawl and you throw it water. We're going to orchestrate it. And then I'm going to rematch you with these guys. I just don't think that you're going to get these people to play along with that. I don't think, and even if they sign NDAs, I don't think that Diaz brothers are trusted to sign an NDA and not give a fuck. They wouldn't be like, fuck this, this is what they fucking said. And all their teammates and everything else. So I think that, but it was weird that they didn't show the actual crazy brawl that happened. Like I would have liked to see.
What they did show was the lamest thing I've ever seen in my life. Like two people just saying something back and forth to each other. Like Cosmo, somebody saying, oh yeah, I'll see you eventually. Like that was it. Like that's the big brawl backstage. like they said, there was 100 people ready to fight, man. It was like, it was, and there's no way, there's cameras everywhere in the UFC, man. When you're backstage like that, everybody's got a, you know, their cell phone, they got their cameras on, they had camera crews back there. There's no way no one caught what was happening if something major happened, for sure.
So what do you think happened? You think they bought all the footage?
I think they may have acted like there was something to stir up interest as far as that goes, but I don't think they had a conspiracy to change the whole fight card around. Cause that's what, like Dana said, you think I can orchestrate? He wanted to say these bunch of dumbasses or something, but he stopped himself and said, if you think I can get these bunch of guys to like,
yeah, exactly. These fucking assholes. No way. Yeah, exactly.
They're hard enough to deal with on a regular basis. There's no way they're going to come up with that, but they may have just seen an opportunity and taken it too. You know what I mean? Like they canceled the press conference and like, or when he couldn't make weight, be like, okay, well, we still want to save the card. Let's make the matchups better or something like that. You know, cause I don't think there's any way. Cosmont said he offered his whole $2 million to Diaz to fight him still. And Diaz said no, but it's probably because Diaz got $2 million or more to fight Ferguson in addition to his regular purse. So,
well, the actual fights that happened, right? Let's talk about the actual fights. Look, which I kind of figured this was going to wait. The actual fights were not great. And I kind of thought that's the way it was going to go down because when you, I'm sure Sean, you know, when you train for a certain type of fighter, you're ready for that type of fighter. When all of a sudden they pick out of a hat and say, you're fighting this guy, you're fighting that guy. It's like Nate Diaz after the fight was like, I just wrestled for the last 2 months, basically saying like,
yeah, he said it. He literally said that.
Now that fight, I don't know what Nate was doing in the middle of the fight when he kept just like walking to the side. I was praying he wouldn't call off the fight. And be like, fuck this, I'm out of here.
That's what I thought he was doing. I thought he was quitting. I thought he was pulling a no mas.
Yeah.
I thought he was like, no, he went over and leaned against the thing. And it's like, at a certain point, when do you take a point away? At a certain point, like, how do you allow that to just be like, you know, you fight or it's over then. You're quitting. You're quitting. Why they didn't just stop it and be like
Tony running? He was getting frustrated with all the spinning elbows and all that other shit. He was getting annoyed. I don't think so it was like, are we going to fight or not? I think that
doesn't matter. You're not allowed to quit the fight because you're not happy about the way it's going. That's called tapping out. That's a TKO. Get the fuck out of here. Why they allowed that to happen over and over again? I have no fucking idea. Like what? You give him a warning one time. He does it again. TKO. You quit. You quit the fight. You're not fighting. You walked away. You're fucking standing there.
Oh, you think so? No.
Sean, yeah,
I think he was tired, and that's the cool way to rest. You know what I mean? To him, you know what I mean, or whatever. I think he was tired when he catches breath, and so then he's acting like this guy won't fight me, so I'll go over and turn my back to him and stand on the cage like I'm bored with it. But that's a good way to catch 10 or 15 seconds of breath, you know, without engaging. But yeah, it's just always, you know, Nick was doing the same thing to Anderson Silva, like just doing weird stuff like that, you know. And
yeah,
but it's a they both, man, and like I like him. I like Diaz a lot more than Tony, but. They looked old and slow to me, man. I hate to say that. They say you get old overnight, you know, in the fight game.
Oh, they looked like equal. Old. Yes, yes. The garbage. And then my favorite part of the whole night was when Tony gets choked out after looking like shit for what, 4 rounds? Yeah. And then he announces he's back.
Yeah.
There was a lot.
I'm back, you guys. Can you see it? That's right. I'm putting everybody on notice. Like, you just lost. You just lost to a guy who hasn't fought in 3 fucking years. Are you kidding me? Oh, get the fuck out of here. The whole thing was a joke.
There was a lot going on there. Now, look, Nate Diaz afterwards saying, I'm going to boxing.
This is the other thing that was hilarious.
He doesn't even say what sport he's going to. Like it could have been table tennis or like bowling, which would have been funny in itself. But he's like, hey, I'm done with the sport. Like there's other guys that are embarrassing us. So you knew it was boxing. And he was talking about, and the whole time I'm like, no, the last thing I want to see is Jake Paul knock out Nate Diaz. That would be the worst. That would be the worst. That would just prove there's no God. If like, imagine Jake Paul just, you know, flatlines Nate Diaz. Oh, I mean, he's heavier. He's younger. He's stronger. He's on stuff. He's been boxing the whole time for 3-4 years.
Well, first of all, can't mean that if that's right. Because he was saying taking over another sport. Yeah. Well, I would assume that means taking over a sport, not going and joining a carnival. So... But that is as unrealistic as Tony making his big comeback on a loss. Neither of these statements make any fucking sense.
Sean, what were you saying, Sean?
I was saying literally when he said that he was going to go take over other like fighters or leaving the UFC and embarrassing them in other avenues, I was like, damn, so Nate Diaz is going to do stand-up now?
Yeah. So then Tony writes, then Tony says he got into Harvard Business School, right? He's like, I'm going to Harvard Business School. I start in 3 weeks, right? So I wrote a joke. I'm like, that's going to happen. I feel bad for the person who's going to have to tell him you have to apply and get into Harvard Business School. You can't just like show up and be like, I'm at Harvard. And I texted it to Tony. He didn't like the joke. Tony, I happen to like Tony Ferguson a lot. But can you just get into Harvard Business School? Someone said you could do it online. Anyone could just get into Harvard. Like, doesn't he have to? I know.
Maybe if your dad was an alumni and gives $1 million, kind of like the Fertitta's son played at Notre Dame. He wasn't recruited by one other Division I school in the country, but he gave $1 million to Notre Dame, and all of a sudden his son got a football scholarship there. So I think that maybe that's the way it works. But yeah, I think not only is it hard to get in Harvard, like you could come from Northwestern or a school like that, you know what I mean, and try to transfer in, and you don't necessarily get in, even if you graduate.
People had some funny things like somebody, there's a video of a guy wrestling his professor that like came out recently, and since someone said like Tony day one.
Yeah. Well, listen, Tony's making a lot of announcements that don't make any sense, it sounds like, you know. Next thing you know, he's going to announce he's going to the moon. So, I don't know what to believe out of this guy right now. I really
don't. He's going to walk into Harvard and be like, I'm back. And they're going to be like, wait, what?
Yeah.
But he said Vitor Belfort helped him get in or helped him with the Harvard Business School or something. I don't know how that happened. Like, we have to stay tuned to this because this sounds awesome.
Yeah, Vitor Belfort helping. Yeah, that's like Adam helping me get into modeling. I mean, why not? I'm a male model now, guys. He helped me get into Ford agency, and now I'm a male model just like Adam.
But good luck. To Tony at Harvard Business School. I think they have to. It's just like the remake of Back to School with Rodney Dangerfield. Except it's Tony Ferguson. That would be the best reality show. People trying to, he's like breakdancing and like in class and all this other kind of stuff. Don, did you watch the fights? Don?
Yeah, I did.
What do you think of Nate Diaz versus Tony Ferguson?
That was a good fight. You know, that they put on a great show. It was a real good fight. You know, definitely the main event caliber, you know. It's nice. Bad to see one of those guys go down.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Now, the other fight, Chimaev, which I thought that was going to happen because you got a guy whose main Achilles heel is wrestling against and Kevin Holland versus a guy who's arguably looking like the best wrestler to ever step a foot in the octagon, or one of them at least. I mean, not necessarily college wrestler wrestling for MMA. The guy, I guess, made the Olympic team for Sweden or the national team. And that was crazy. Now, people were mad about the fake glove touch, right? But I'm kind of with Chimaev on this because you had like security guards in the octagon separating these two guys. These guys got into a fight the day before in the locker room where allegedly Chimaev kicked him in the stomach. They got into another altercation. Why would Kevin Holland think it's a good idea to then touch his glove when the fight starts? Or why wouldn't you do the thing beforehand of like, hey, touch glove or no, to see if the other person's going to do it? So, you know, Chimaev kind of went for a glove touch, but it looked like almost like it was like a fake, went for the takedown. What did you think about that, Don?
I'm dumb as dumber, you know? Fuck. And why would you even want to touch gloves? I mean, it's supposed to be something that, you know, people who have some form of sportsmanship do. And not guys that have gotten in a fight the day before.
Yeah, right.
At the end of the day, a fight is a fight, you know? I mean, you get in that ring and he don't owe you nothing.
Sean?
Yeah, I never did the glove touch before fights. I didn't like it. I don't know. I just don't think it has any place in it because you do have guys that take advantage of it. But I think in a weird way, guys think if they do that, because the guys always wanted to do it with me, were guys that knew they were going to lose to me. I never had a guy that was going to kick my ass do that. You know what I mean? Or whatever. It's always the guy that's going to lose. Like, they think somehow maybe he'll take it a little easier on me if we're friends right before. But Chimaev literally, I think, would have murdered him if he could. Like, I think he would have killed him. Like, I think Chimaev's actually out there trying to kill someone. So not that Chechens have been known to be violent throughout their history. But I think he literally, when he says he wants to take their head, I think he wants to kill somebody. So that was a dumb move, and even dumber to, I don't think it would have affected, he was going to get taken down either way, but it definitely, it's a little bit dirty on Chimaev's part, but stupid to put your hand out there to begin with. So,
I mean, that, but I don't get the whole 8.5 pounds. He missed weight by 8.5 pounds. The doctor told him to stop cutting weight, but then he still fought. Like, what? I'm confused on that part. Don, what happened there?
It's just a lack of respect for your opponent and for the sport and for the crowd. You know, he's just saying fuck you to everybody. You know, he's not putting any effort into it. And, hell, he should have lost more. Should have taken half his purse at least, you know. And then maybe a suspension in the future. I mean, there's, you know, if you miss weight by 1 or 2 pounds, that's kind of a quasi understandable, but anything more than a pound is ridiculous, put it that way. To go 7 or 8 pounds, that's just a big fuck you to everybody.
Sean?
Yeah, and the funny thing was, he wasn't even sorry about it. Like, he's telling everybody, so I missed weight. Like, that's if he wants to be the bad guy, he definitely set himself up, because everybody's booing him. I did find it interesting. I like Dana a lot, man. Dana's helped me out in the past. He's never been anything but nice, and I know a lot of people don't like him, but I thought it was funny that Dana was like, yeah, miss weight, no big deal, when normally Dana, he'll cut you, burn your house down, ruin your life if you miss weight, you know what I mean, or whatever. But that just shows, like, I think that Chimaev plays in a real big role in their plans for the Muslim market, or whatever you call that, the Middle Eastern market. Maybe Muslim wasn't the best term.
Right.
But I think they're doing a lot of stuff in Abu Dhabi, Dubai, and I think they plan on him being a big star over there. So I think it's weird that Dana's like, well, maybe we'll just have to have him fight at 180 next time. And I'm like, wait, you're creating a whole new weight class for the dude? Because he said 180, not 185, you know?
Oh, geez.
So just craziness. But if it were anybody else that wasn't a big star like that, he would have probably wouldn't have fought, probably would have been suspended and everything else. But they got big plans for Chimaev, I think. So I'm sure they had a talk with him backstage and told him it can't happen again, you know. And but this stuff too, by the way, they don't come check on you while you're cutting weight. The only way a doctor knows is if someone from your team, or if you go tell the doctor you're having trouble. They don't check on you. They don't come ask how your weight cut's going. They don't anything. They weigh you when you get there. Tuesday you get there, they weigh you. They ask you, are you sure you're going to make weight? And that's the last you hear from them on making weight, unless you go talk to them. So,
Greg?
It's this way in everything in life. You know, if you are, you know, a famous representative of them, you're definitely going to get different treatment than everybody else. It's as simple as that. That applies to everything. You know, whoever their stars are, they're going to definitely give them a different set of rules than apply to everybody else. So that's not surprising. If anything, I'm wondering if there is anything sinister here. Did Chimaev not want to make weight so that he could force a match with Kevin Holland because he didn't like this guy so much? You know, maybe this thing had been brewing for a while, and he was like, I don't want to fight him. I want to fight that fucking guy, and I'm going to fight him the second I see him. And ultimately was just trying to force them to reshuffle it so he could.
You know what's crazy is he could have fought both of them.
It's a much easier fight for him.
Yeah.
Much easier fight for him than Diaz was, you know.
It took nothing for him to take Holland down.
You can always go back. The Diaz fight is guaranteed. He can always have that fight.
A part of me thinks that maybe the guy doesn't even like fighting, to be honest. Like, he's just maybe like,
amazing. I think he loves it.
Well, let's listen up. I mean, he's amazing at it. He's obviously incredible, but he doesn't, he almost quit. He got COVID and he almost quit. He basically quit fighting. And then the, whoever the prime minister or president of Chechnya said, no, you have to fight. Fuck that. And then now he's fighting again. He doesn't like making weight. That's obvious. He flips out the whole week of the fight. He was fighting with people. He was getting into arguments. He was kicking people. The guy's obviously got some screws loose. And then at the end, when he won, he's like, I kill everyone, you know, Allah Akbar. It was like you can't, it was insanity.
Usually I kill everyone Allah Akbar isn't followed by cheers in the United States. Like, that's usually not the, not exactly. He could, if he'd done that in Madison Square Garden, it probably would have been a riot. So
it's crazy, but he's a, but he's incredible at it. I just don't know if he likes everything that you have to do. Like, is this going to be one of those cases where you have a guy who has unlimited amount of talent, but essentially some shit goes down where you just never see him again? I mean, because that's the thing about us fighting. I mean, Don, I'm sure, you know, you got some guys that are just incredible at something, but mentally they just don't. I mean, John Jones is a guy that like has all the talent in the world, but mentally couldn't seem to get it together. I mean, the story's not totally over with him, but I mean, we'll see. I know that they're trying to make Colby Covington.
I mean, nobody likes making weight.
Yeah, but 8 pounds.
Nobody likes making weight.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, but 8.5 pounds is like a. It's like you tried and you said fuck it. Now Colby Covington Chimaev, yeah. I would love to see that fight because I just think they match up really well together. I would give Colby the advantage of striking, Chimaev the advantage of power, Chimaev the advantage in wrestling, Colby the advantage in cardio, and grappling, I would say you have to go with Chimaev, but you know, Colby's no slouch on the ground as far as wrestling, but it's a different kind of wrestling. Who do you think wins that fight? McCorkle.
I don't think Chimaev takes Colby down. And if he does, it's not easy. So I don't think, I think Colby probably wins that outlasts him cardio wise, and beats him. I think, Usman beats him too. So, him against Gilbert Burns showed you he's not as great as they're pretending, man. Gilbert Burns is good, but he's not a world beater. And he, I mean, he could have lost that fight against Burns easily, you know, like one more round going a different way and he could have lost that fight. So, he'll do great against guys that can't wrestle, but you get up there with Usman and guys that like Colby that can wrestle and can keep from getting taken down, and he's going to struggle.
What's up, people? Football is back, and BetOnline is your number one source for all football betting needs and sports info this season. Find all the latest football odds, news, and game matchups, including this year's opening week games. BetOnline is your continued source for all your wagering information, including live betting, free contests, and live scores. Always the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports and events, including MLB, MMA, tennis, boxing, even golf. Head over to betonline.ag to join and receive your 100% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use promo code CLNS50 to receive your rewards. BetOnline, where the game starts. Greg?
I hope one of them beats him and then yells, "I kill everyone! Allah Akbar!"
Could you imagine?
Like, while they're standing over them, that's what
I mean, Colby has said things like, Khabib wears a sheep on his head so he can fuck it later. I mean, he has said some of the most fucking ridiculous things. Could you imagine the amount of vile negative energy that will go into those two? I mean, you might create another war. There might be a war after that fight between MAGA and Chechnya, but oh my God. So, Don, who do you think wins that fight?
Oh, goodness. Let's hope we fight this one to win.
Who do you think wins the fight, though? Between Colby and Chimaev?
I'm going to say Chechnya beats MAGA.
What? What's that?
I go with Colby because I think Chimaev's about ready to crack. You know, all that fucking idiotic shit he does. You know, like you said, you don't know whether he really wants to fight or not, but he does. He's just a violent bastard. You know, they all are. And he doesn't give a fuck, and he's getting ready to crack if he has to make weight. You know, if he's acting like a turd for the whole week leading up to the fight, there's something wrong with the guy. And there's a major screw loose, and he's going to lose it.
Yeah. The question is, when Don said they're all violent, is he talking about Chechens, Muslims, or UFC fighters? I was trying to figure out which group, or MAGA for that.
All the above. All the above.
Man. I thought the D-Rod fight versus the Leech, I was rooting for D-Rod. He's 200-0 in jail fights as well as street fights. He's a badass fighter, but I thought the Leech won. I hate to say it. It wasn't a complete robbery, but I thought the Leech won that fight. Greg?
You're not the only one. The Leech thought he won, too. And I also thought he won. I completely agreed with him. I thought it was really obvious. I mean, I thought scoring-wise, he should have absolutely won the fight. I guess maybe they voted on power shots over volume or something. I don't know. But I thought Lee absolutely did enough to win at least two of the rounds, if not all three. And if Daniel won one, it was the first round, I think, if I remember correctly. It's a few days now. But yeah, that one was one of those ones. This is why they say don't leave it up to the judges, because it was a split decision, but it split the wrong way. When they said it was a split, I was like, it should still be. And his surprise, Lee's surprise, when he was just like, what? I was like, I'm with you, dude. I don't know what they were watching.
I felt bad for him. He bought a new suit. He was so excited to wear it to the press conference. And then that got canceled. Then I thought he would have beaten Tony Ferguson pretty easily in that fight. And then he has to fight a guy 10 pounds heavier. He wins and he gets fucked by the judges. Sean.
The last time a Leech got beat in the UFC, he retired and went on to a stand-up comedy career. So,
of course,
I think
for
Lee, I think he'll be going on to do get on Joe Rogan's podcast as much as possible and start doing stand-up comedy.
Okay,
You beat this dead horse so badly. I'm beginning to feel bad for the horse.
No, the horse is alive again now. He beat it; it's back alive. Like, he died.
Back to life.
It's like when a guy knocks a guy out and hits him and he comes back alive again.
Yeah.
Like he's back awake.
He was out and then you woke him up. Okay.
So all Don right. Fry, Leech, D-Rod, what do you think of that fight?
I think he got robbed too. I think it should have went the other way. Okay. You know, I mean, it's pretty obvious. He had the advantage, you know, and everything is going good for him. But you can't leave it up to the judges. It's just, that's just you know, the fatal mistake everybody makes.
You never made that mistake.
Yeah, but his fights didn't have any judges.
Couple. Yeah, exactly.
He was fighting where you just fought till someone couldn't fight no more.
It's exactly what happened. It was the Ken Shamrock. Then it went into overtime, right?
No, Ken Shamrock, it was a split decision, but, you know, I mean, I don't even see how they could have thought that, you know? I mean, Ken's a great fighter and it was a really great fight, but I think I dominated the whole thing, you know?
Yeah, you did. Yeah, no, you did.
That'd be something for Ken and I to discuss one day.
Now, the Jake Collier versus, what's his name? The huge black guy, the heavyweight.
Chris Barnett.
Chris Barnett. That fight, man, I was rooting for Collier because we had him on the podcast. You know, like I said, he started fighting at a wedding. He was training under a treehouse. He was eating squirrels. It's just a great dude.
He's eating more than squirrels.
Yeah. I was going to say, were those squirrels filled with McDonald's?
And he had that fight won. He had the fight won. And fucking, man, that other dude just somehow came back and beat him. It was... That was the best fight of the night. But man, that was like a world star fight. It was nuts. Yeah. John, what'd you think of that fight?
Dude, I love Chris Barnett. I've known him for a long time. I actually turned down a fight with him in 2012, I think. Or no, 2011. I turned down a fight with him because at the time he was like 9-1 and they were going to bring him in as a replacement. And I watched him fight. I was like, I'm not fighting that dude, man. Like you could tell he was throwing spinning back kicks and doing flips in his fights and stuff like crazy. I was like, they're like, he's only 5'8". I'm like, dude, I don't care. He's 300 pounds. You know what I mean? Or whatever. Like, he still hits hard. And they wanted me to take it on 4 days notice. I said, no, I'm not taking that fight on 4 days notice with that dude, man. I'd just been released from the UFC and my other guy pulled out. But yeah, no, he's a great guy, man. If I know him, I've hung out with him several times. He's from Georgia, I think. But every time I go down to Pensacola, there's something called Island Fights down there. Dean Toole puts on some great fights down there. And I've hung out with him repeatedly. Great guy, man. I was happy for him.
I felt bad because they took him to the hospital and I guess they just left him there. So he had to like walk back.
Did you see they kicked what's his name out? He had to
Johnny Walker. Yeah.
I guess that really happened. Like that's like, I don't know what's going on, man.
They kicked him out of the hospital?
No. Kavanaugh and Walker, I guess, didn't have tickets.
Yeah, that's true. The UFC, if you don't have a ticket, they won't let you in the arena, even if you fought that night. Like you can fight. I fought in Indianapolis, my hometown. I won, beat Mark Hunt in a minute, and they won't let me in the arena because I don't have a ticket.
Are you kidding
me?
I
was like, dude, are you kidding me? I can't walk in unless you show us a ticket. And I was like, is this the UFC or the, like, or the, you know, like the arena's rule? Cause I was really mad about it, man. So I had to say, I was going to go get my ticket stub and bring it back and show the lady. And then I didn't, I just went out to the arena and then disappeared. But yeah, they, it was crazy, man. They, if you don't, the UFC wants you to buy a ticket if you want to watch the fights. That's how crazy it is.
That's like when you hear about, you know, these football players and they have to pay for a suite for their family, you know, and it's like, really? You don't get at least like one that you get to bring your family? You get no comps? Like, Jesus Christ.
The UFC wouldn't let Stephen Bonner bring anyone to his Hall of Fame thing, I think it was. They wouldn't let him bring anyone. They said that he could only, it was only one ticket for the Hall of Fame thing. Here he is getting inducted in the Hall of Fame and he has to pay for tickets for these people to come with him. I think it was Stephen Bonner. Whoever it was told me that it was that, but couldn't believe that none of his family could come because he wasn't going to buy tickets for them to watch him get inducted. Like that's how greedy they are on those tickets, man.
God damn.
That's crazy. Speaking of football, I don't know if you guys watched, I sent you guys the link to the Le'Veon Bell versus what's his name? The running back, Adrian Peterson. It was like an arena that held like 10,000 people and like there were 80 people there for these like influencer fights. And I guess no tickets were sold. It was a horrible fight. Like neither of these guys, it was to the point where like there was videos of Adrian Peterson knocking people out, like in sparring. And I think Paulie Malignaggi was the thing. And he's like, I think he must have paid those people because he's not showing us anything here. Like they were just shitting on both of them. But then Le'Veon Bell came.
Wait a minute. You mean two old football players who've never fought professionally or amateur before weren't good at this?
No, it was terrible.
But I am shocked. I was expecting it to be an incredibly good right. Oh, wow.
Then he came in with an overhand right and then knocked down and won the fight. A lot of people
that right hand looked solid, though. I'll give him that. That right hand was nasty.
I was going to say, that is the one thing I saw, and he got him pretty good. I mean, he went out. He knocked him the fuck out. So, I mean, but yeah, it would look, I mean, I've seen better street fights. That was stupid.
Well, Peterson says he's trying to go back to football. Does he have a chance, you think?
No.
Really?
Yeah, he's too old.
And then what's his name? The Swaggy P fight was terrible. Oh, he started doing like, he dove out of the ring. The Swaggy P.
I can't believe Swaggy P was fighting and I didn't know and I missed the fight. I wish I would have known that Swaggy P was on the card.
Listen, if you had told me, I mean, that he's the real who's who.
And so. then in bare knuckle boxing, Joe Riggs got knocked. Well, he was winning, but then he got headbutt, knocked out by a headbutt.
Who so was it?
Joe Riggs.
Against who?
I don't know who the guy was. I don't know.
Is that a legal move in illegal fighting?
Stupid. I mean, back in the day when you were fighting and headbutts were legal, did you practice headbutts in the gym?
Against the heavy bag, yeah, but you know, you can't get anybody to stand there. Hey, let me practice some headbutts for you. Okay, go right ahead.
Wait, so you're sitting there with a heavy bag, throwing like 1-2 and lefts and rights, and then headbutting the bag?
Yeah, there is a technique to headbutting proper. You know, it's like throwing a punch. You know, you've got to know how to wind up and throw it and tense, you know, and all that good stuff. And you don't want to throw your nose into the guy, you know, it'd be detrimental. So you would throw your forehead into his nose. And so, you know, it takes a little bit of coordination to it.
Man, I would love to have video of Don Fred headbutting the bag. That would be like my screensaver. Like I would wake up in the morning, like you should have a Don Fry alarm clock. Like, get up, you pussy, you fucking varmint. Get up, crikety. Time to start your fucking day, you fucking liberal snowflake. And then you look over and he's headbutting a bag.
Quit crying.
Get up, Joe Biden.
Quit crying, you puss.
Joe Biden ruined the country. Get the fuck out of bed. Like,
get up. You gotta go.
No reason to get out of bed.
Boy, they're going to patrol their zone.
There's no reason to get out bed. There's nothing to do. There's no jobs. There's no money, no gas. What are you going to do? Get up and stare at the wall? Hey.
Collins is doing the opposite of an alarm clock. He's trying to keep you in bed.
He's keeping you in bed. Exactly. Go back. Like, what are you getting up for? World's turned to shit. No fucking water.
That's what can happen when you hit your snooze button on your alarm. Then it's Don Fry telling you to go back to sleep.
Yeah, so, you hit the snooze. It's like, fine, lay there. Ain't nothing to get up for anyway.
So Brendan Schaub fired back. He says, I've been nothing but cool to Dana White. Thought you learned from the last time I mentioned my name. Not surprised you're a bully. Always has been. I mean, you put on a pair of designer jeans, some hip sneakers, and think you're cool. You're still a dork with a frat boy vocabulary. Calling me and numerous people dummy, dumbass, fucking idiot, because we have questions about the chaos. And he goes, quit stealing my shows on Thick Boy Network and recreating it on Fight Pass.
So now the can we just start with the fact that Thick Boy, not a great name.
No, Thick Boy. Like,
what is it?
Thick. THI.
Even worse. Even worse.
Did you guys see Joe Rogan clown on the name of his whiskey?
No.
Schaub thought that you could just, like, everybody, he sees that Conor McGregor has a whiskey, so he thought you could just pay some company to make whiskey and everybody will buy it and sell it. And then he found out that you actually, like, have to market it and get suppliers to try to sell it and hire reps and stuff. So he has a whiskey that no one buys, but he called it Tiger Thick because he's an idiot named his son Tiger, and it's thick with three C's. And so Joe Rogan, to his face, says, hey, that's good whiskey. Too bad you got a terrible name for it, you know, or whatever. He said, dude, the name sucks. It's on. It's funny. Like, he just clowns his, he keeps clowning his whiskey and Schaub's like, it's my son's name. What the hell? Like,
oh God.
Yeah. It's funny.
So this week in the UFC.
Hey, anybody want to shout out Tiger Thick? Anybody? Thick Tiger? Anybody? No? No one wants that? No? You don't know what it is? What?
I've got something for you right here, baby.
Exactly. It sounds like you're about to blow a tiger. Are you kidding me?
The one that, like, so attacked. Dumb. It's like the one that attacked Roy.
Thick Boy, I'm sorry. That's an OnlyFans account. Get the fuck out of here with this.
Well, he claims he has his own network because he has a YouTube channel. That's what he calls it. My own network. It's like, dude, that's not a network. I can have a YouTube channel right now if I want to sign up. All I need is an email address. But he always talks about, yeah, it's my own network. I don't need ESPN. I've got my own network. Like, a YouTube page?
So Corey Sandhagen is fighting Song Yadong this week, Saturday, Sandhagen versus Yadong. I like Corey Sandhagen is, like, I've hung out with him. He's actually kind of a nerdy guy, but he's really funny. He has a podcast with Mitch Fatel, who is Mitch Fatel.
Interesting.
Mitch Fatel is one of the funniest people alive. Very, very underrated comedian. If you want to laugh, go watch Mitch Fatel. There's a whole crop of, like, comedians that we came up with, Greg, that, like, were there before the YouTube explosion that never got their, like, their just due, in my opinion, like the Pete Coriales or the you know, the Orny Adams or the you know, the Greg Rogels. And I put Mitch Fatel in that situation too, but anyway,
I just wish he'd stop stealing his bits from Thick Boy.
Listen,
so Sandhagen, who I thought beat he lost to Peter Yanez last fight. I thought he beat Dillashaw. He beat Frankie Edgar. He beat Marlon Moraes. He lost to Aljamain Sterling. Song Yadong is coming off a win. He knocked out Marlon Moraes. He knocked out Julio Arce. He beat Casey Kenney. He lost to Kyler Phillips. But Kyler is also a guy that no one knows about, but he's got kids really, really talented. I think Sandhagen's gonna win this fight. Don.
Yeah, I'd go with Sandhagen too. I agree.
Greg.
I also like Sandhagen.
My money.
Yeah, I just think this is a good fight for him. I think there's a good matchup stylistically. I think he'll be able to get him on the ground. I think he's going to do some weird things that Yadong isn't ready for.
McCorkle.
Yeah, go. No, wait, I got to pull a McCorkle and be like, I feel like I didn't get enough out of that joke, guys. Come on.
I laughed.
I'd go Sandhagen, man. He had a couple of close fights with a couple of top fighters. I don't remember who they were, but I remember thinking, man, that guy can't catch a break when he was fighting some of them guys. Like, he fought really well. But yeah, I'd go Sandhagen. He's good, man. He's better than his record recently would.
I agree with that. I think that's a great way of saying that too, McCorkle. He's better than his recent record. He really is. He's just one of those guys, for some reason, hasn't gone all the way for him, but he's really an incredible fighter.
Speaking of Yadong's not ready. Well, Greg, what's the worst blowjob you ever got?
You know, teeth. I've gotten teeth a few times. I've gotten hooked on the rim before. I mean, I've had some. And one girl, you know what the worst thing I ever had was a girl who aggressively jerked me off one time to the point where I just stopped her.
Really?
She was like, yeah, she was like, ah, you know, and I was just like, ah, you know, ah, stop. Like, it fucking hurt, man. But I've had a couple of teeth incidents in the blowjob game.
Wait, I think. You tapped to a hand job?
Yeah, I said, stop, just stop. Cause she was angry at it. She seemed mad at dicks in general.
Sean, you ever have a bad blowjob?
Yeah, mine was the worst. When the guy told me to stop, I was hurting him.
I kept saying, you're using your teeth.
I know. I should have listened.
Don, you?
Yeah, I was 6 years old the first time I got molested. Yeah. It wasn't a good one.
Oh.
All right. This is sorry, man. I'm sorry that happened to you. And
we drove.
Well, how you think I feel about fire hydrant?
I thought this was going to be a fun little segment. We could it went from. I thought this was going to be a good way to mix it up among the fight talk. I'll bring up a bad blowjob story, and then Don gets molested at six. And it's just
every time we start catching some steam, like it gets funny, like we're talking about funny stuff. Don brings up getting molested, or I bring up Brittany Schaub's comedy, and it just fills the mood every time.
Yeah,
like it just
you got clothes with McCorkle, not me. Clothes with McCorkle.
Yeah, clothes with McCorkle.
All right. So also on the card, Chitty Bang. Chitty Bang. Yeah. Chitty and Jikawani, a guy that was like in Bellator, kind of not really, you know, he was losing a lot, winning a lot, didn't really have the best record, got on to the contender as a guy, as an opponent, won, and has just been fucking killing people as
of late. Chitty Chitty Bang Bang? Is that what you said?
His name is Chitty and Jikawani.
I literally thought you said Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Well, he did, because that's like his nickname. That's like his
nickname is Chitty Bang. He's got like a real deep voice, like yo, like he sounds like Tone Loke. And he's he's
it's a straight 80s reference.
And he's gonna he's won his last three fights. He's fighting this guy, Gregory Rodriguez, who destroyed Julian Marquez. That's the guy that won his fight and then called out Miley Cyrus on a date, and she said she would go out with him if he shaved MC in his chest hair, and he wouldn't do it. And he's got a podcast with Kendra Lust. He's a great guy. He used to work at Top Golf. When he was in the UFC, he's working at Top Golf. Anyway, that guy ran through Marquez. He's a tough guy. So this should be a good fight. Gregory Rodriguez versus Chitty Bang. Also, Andre Feely, who's a guy that was in high school. He had an ankle monitor on. Forgetting it to fights. He couldn't leave the house, joined Team Alpha Male, got a missing tooth, hot girlfriend. I think they've been together 5 years. He did comedy with me and whatever. He also has a band. He has like a hardcore, like just, you know, kind of like a Korn kind of band.
It's weird. He doesn't look like that. he looks like he'd have a nice folk rock band. That's surprising.
I gotta say, I love how Adam brought up like an 80s reference to like compare somebody to. And he's like, you know, he reminds me of Tone Loke. And then he's like, talking about Team Alpha Male. Those guys remind me of Tattoo from Fantasy Island. Like, it's just a bunch of 80s. I just kept having 80s references go through my head. That guy reminds me of Kit, Michael Knight's
Club. Yeah. Remember BJ had that bear?
Right.
He's fighting Bill Algeo, who has a win against Herbert Burns. Burns, like, I think it's tore ACL. It's not like he quit in that fight, but I think he tore his leg. He's got a win over Spike Carlisle, which is a good win. That should be a good fight. Although I'm picking touchy-feely. You guys?
Every time I pick that guy, he loses. So I'm going to go with Bill so that he might actually win.
Sean?
Same. I've bet on Touchy Philly repeatedly, and he always lost. So
he always lose, right? Anytime I pick him, he goes out there and loses. So forget it. I'm done with the guy. I pick Algeo or whatever that guy's name is.
And then Anthony Hernandez. He's the guy. He's won his last. He knocked out by Kevin Holland. He beat Rodolfo Vieira, who they were calling like the greatest black belt in the history. Like, he's a guy. They just kept praising this guy, and then he tapped him by a guillotine. And then he won his last fight against Josh Fremd. Good dude, smokes a lot of weed, but good fight. He's fighting Mark Andre Baraut, who has a win over the Beverly Hills Ninja Jordan Wright. His last fight, I'm picking Anthony in this one. Sarah McMahon, who is looking ripped, she's the girl, you know, she's silver medalist, awesome girl, great girl, fun. just all around good person, is taking on Aspen Ladd. That's the one who, remember her cornerman was like, you just went off on her, and people were saying it was like abusive, but I guess that's her boyfriend and her trainer. And then,
oh, well, then it definitely couldn't be abusive.
All right, I was gonna say it's acceptable as long as it's her boyfriend.
Yeah, I mean, if they're in a relationship, oh yeah, I believe there's a song. It's called "Smack My Bitch Up." That shows you totally fine, so long as you're in a committed, loving relationship.
So that should be a good fight.
Boy!
And then also Jillian Robert.
Who do you like in it though? I gotta be honest. I like Aspen Ladd. I really do. I think she's got a. I think she's got a good shot to beat Sarah here.
I think Sarah is looking great. She's fine. She looked great her last fight.
She did, and she is on the comeback. I mean, she definitely has the experience, but I don't know. I thought Aspen Ladd actually looked pretty good in her last fight, despite all those things. I like her in this one.
The good news is whoever loses can say, I'm back.
So she's always
winning. Yeah, whoever loses can declare that it's the comeback is on. Right. So now
Anderson Silva says his fight against Jake Paul, it's not about winning or losing. It's about how much I love this. Oh, shit.
You forgot the end of that line. It's about how much I love this pile of money he's giving me to go out there and lose. That's what he forgot the rest of the sentence in the quote.
It's not about winning or losing. It's about me losing for money.
Yeah. Oh,
man.
It's about how much I love all this money he's willing to give me, guys.
Don, who wins this fight?
Oh, fuck. The white boy's going to win because he's paying Anderson to take a dive.
Thank you. John, know, I'm glad we're finally all on the same page about how rigged this shit is.
Sean?
If Anderson loses and it's not by a wacky, wild right hand that no one could have seen coming, then I will agree with Greg that it's set up. Like, if he's a far better boxer, and Jake Paul's not that fast that he should be able to catch him with a right hand, you know? So unless Jake Paul's getting pieced up and just ducks his head and throws a wild one, knocks him out, then if he loses, if Silva loses, then it's set up.
Now, Jake's trying to bet Dana White $5 million. And I don't think Dana's going to take the bet, though, right?
Well, you shouldn't bet against the guy rigging the event. Right, yes. That'd be like you betting Dana White on one of the UFC events. Well, I'm pretty sure he knows who's gonna win.
I mean, that's not like, a rig, though. It's like betting. It's more like betting on Vince McMahon who's gonna win WrestleMania. Better.
Yeah, exactly. You're exactly right. You know, and he's like, I don't know. I feel pretty good about The Rock this year. Like,
is when these guys try to bet Dana White, like Snoop Dogg won to bet Dana White. $2 million on a fight or something like that. Like Dana White's not going to risk that much money. Like Snoop Dogg doesn't have near the money Dana White has, not even in the same ballpark. And he's like, oh yeah, I'll bet you $1 million, Dana. Like Dana gambles $1 million on a hand of blackjack, but they act like they're intimidating him into, oh, he won't bet $1 million, you know? Like,
so the PFL signed Muhammad Ali's grandson, Biagio Ali, to an amateur contract.
Yes. What does that mean exactly? I mean, aren't you an amateur league? I mean, they're not. They're professional fighters. Why do they have an amateur division?
Ali Wall signs as an amateur and will debut in November, training to go pro with the PFL in 2023. So he hasn't even had a fight yet.
Almost like the famous last name had something to do with it.
I know. I feel like it's somehow connected.
That's crazy.
Nepotism runs the world. That's the way it goes.
So
walk out the cage with a photo of his grandfather, you know, hanging around his neck.
Phil Baroni, a lot of people are wondering, he wants to fight on the undercard of the Jake Paul fight against Vitor Belfort. I'm not really sure that's a good idea.
Yeah, that'd be a good one for him.
And listen, if they don't accept his offer, it'll probably still happen in the parking lot.
And what else? I think that's all the news for this week. What do you got coming up, Greg?
This weekend, I will be in Flagstaff. Two shows Friday night. there at the Orpheum Theater. Please come out and join me. And on Saturday, I will be teaching my crowd work class at 1 p.m. there at the Orpheum Theater. So if you're not a participating comedian, you can still take the class for $100. You can pay at the door.
Nice. Sean?
Nothing, as always. You know me, I stay not busy. So,
Don?
Well done.
I need my antibiotics every 8 hours, you know, living the life of famous and happy and wonderful person, you know. Jeez, excited to be alive.
I love
we love you, Don. We are so excited to have you every single week, brother. I love seeing your face.
this Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I'll be at JP's Comedy Club in Gilbert, Arizona this week. JP's Comedy Club. You guys are amazing. Love you.
Oh, by the way, there's somebody that hit me up that said that you're going to your show. I think they said on Friday.
Yeah.
And then they wanted to try and make it to my workshop on Saturday because I guess it's just, you know, it's up the hill. So we'll see if that happens. I wish them good luck. I hope you make it to both. Honestly, though, you should come to my shows on Friday.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Greg.
Well, you can go to yours on Thursday. You're doing a Thursday show. You should go to yours on Thursday and mine on Friday.
Wait, are you guys both in Arizona this week?
Yeah.
How far is it?
He's saying Gilbert, but Gilbert is basically a suburb of Phoenix.
Yeah.
If I'd have known that, I would have came out there and we could all had Don come up to wherever you guys are at. We could have done a podcast live or something if I'd have known ahead of time.
All right. We're about 2.5 hours away from each other. So,
yeah. Anyway, it would have been.
All right.